Coming at you from the heart of Purdue, recorded blocks away from Mackey and Cedarwood Apartments, it's V from the Paint. Three of the most basketball-savvy students you'll find talking about the team we love most.
And we know you've missed us, but V from the Paint is back after a long hiatus in which we may have gotten off track, but we've come back to you with a better product, we think, and better way to get the episodes out on time. So in the past, as you know, we've been coming out after each game and trying to give you like a quick reaction. But with all of our schedules and stuff, I think we realized that the best way to get a continued and consistent episode flow was we will be coming to you every Sunday night with an overview of the games from the week before. And we think that will help create some consistency in the episodes and hopefully have some more level thoughts. Have some time to digest the game we just saw instead of just reacting
true,
on it.
True.
So
being a little more rational.
Yes. Hopefully. Yes.
Not say we're gonna go undefeated like we did all.
Yes. So we hope this change will be met with rave reviews. But we'll have to see.
Give away with words, right?
Yeah, you do.
So anyway, if you're a first time listener, I'm Darian. I'm here with
Nick
and Colton,
and we are. Three juniors at Purdue University, and we love Purdue basketball, and that's what we're going to talk about. So,
alrighty, so we have five games, just went over five games we haven't talked about. Yeah. We, had
we
an
skipped
episode,
a week.
Yeah, had an episode after the first game, but we did skip a week. We've been playing like every other day, so it's been crazy. But we have all the way back to the Villanova game is what we haven't done. We haven't done Villanova, Georgia State, Utah State, Auburn, and most recently NJIT. So, Colton, what are some key points? I know you have a lot you want to say,
so
a lot
much.
To talk about.
Yes,
but what are some key things to get rolling?
I guess over the course of the games, we've seen Carson Edwards kind of establishing himself a little better in the last few games, scoring especially against Auburn and NJIT.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince Edwards is starting to come along. I've been frustrated with him at the beginning of the year.
I feel like it's sad we even have to say that.
Yes, he's a junior. Yeah. For God's sake, he should be leading the team. But okay. So those two are bright spots. And Caleb Swanigan, obviously, still dominating, which is fun. So I guess those are the things I'm thinking about. So it's been all right.
It's been okay.
It's been okay.
Hey, you mentioned Vince. I was really impressed. NJIT, he played really well. And he had two or three games, like basically the whole season up to this last game or last couple games.
Second half of Auburn.
Yeah.
He played
last three halves of basketball have been his best three halves. And just thinking about that though, going back to Villanova, like if we could have had him at a level that he can play, like it makes us a different team, makes us more dimensional than just trying to pound it inside all the time. And I think I think Carson Edwards will help a lot with that as well, being able to be dynamic and make plays. Because he had, close to 20 points against NJIT.
He had 19, I think, and then I think he had 21 or 3.
He shot the ball really well in Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of got him out of his slump from playing at home. But another person I wanted to say that I've been very impressed with, I know you're down a little bit, but Isaac Haas just had quietly a great year. Because he's under Swanigan, he doesn't get all the hype that Swanigan gets. But, I mean, he's shooting 73% from the field, averaging 16.5 points, 5 rebounds. Turnovers are at 3, so not great, but not as bad as they were last year if you look at per minute. So, I think Haas is having a great year. You say he's not, which I don't understand.
I did not say he's not having a great year. We can get into this if you want. But all I said was he is meeting expectations against small teams. That's all I said.
I want to give the viewers a little background. So we're watching the game. I'm watching the game against Utah State in Columbus because of Thanksgiving break. And I'm watching it, and my phone's on silent. And I look down, and I have 26 messages in our group message. And Colton and Nick are just going back and forth, paragraph for paragraph, on why Isaac Haas is either good or not good.
I did not.
He has 26 points.
I did not say he was not good. Okay.
What's the argument?
No, Colton says he, because he is 17, this is his first text, because he is 7'2",
can we look at this first text?
He should be getting these types of numbers every night. This is a night where he had 26 points, 5 rebounds.
Here's what I'm saying. Because Isaac Haas is
Isaac
Haas.
He was 9 for 10 from the field.
My expectations are he scores 20-plus against a bad team.
Every time.
Which he should do against NJIT, and he did not. I mean, he should dominate teams when the biggest guy on the floor is 6'8", 200 pounds.
I'm not saying he shouldn't necessarily dominate. I'm saying it's not that easy. And you weren't giving him any credit. You refused to give him credit.
He's meeting my expectations. Like,
what do you
if
mean?
If he's doing that against fucking North Carolina, then okay.
So you're saying if you were 7'2", you'd go out and get 26 points against Utah State. Just because you're 7'2". That makes you an elite basketball player because you're 7'2".
Okay, if I just grew a foot today, no. But like if I had been that big my whole life, playing basketball my whole life, yes. Absolutely.
Every time.
Absolutely.
I just feel like your tone through text was that, like, his elite status is because he's 7'2", and, like, you're giving him no credit for what he has developed. Like, him as a freshman, he's not going to ever score 26 points. I don't care if they're playing the blind school. But he's not going to score 26 points and grab 5 boards and go 9 for 10 and only turn it over one time in that game.
Yeah, we'll talk about the next game.
We're talking about Utah State.
All right. Well, all I'm saying is my expectations for Isaac Haas right now are that he scores 20 plus points against those teams, and you're like, oh, wow, Isaac
then
Haas,
he's an elite big man.
Isaac Haas is dominating. Wow, he's so good.
He is like, dominating, and yeah, he deserves credit
for
that.
I said he's doing what he's supposed to do.
That's
so
wrong.
So how
can you expect him to just do that?
If you can't have great expectations, how can you be great? Like, I don't understand.
But when he doesn't get that, you can't say, oh, man, like, he sucks. Like,
performed poorly against NJIT at 8 points.
It's not.
That is below the expectations.
Okay, so I find the expectation maybe in the teens. And when he scores 26, he deserves credit. He deserves high praise for a great game, not an, oh, yeah, he did what he was supposed to do. Because that's what you said.
He did do what he was supposed to do.
It's more than that, though.
It's a man against boys. Like, he is just, it's easy.
That doesn't mean it's a given.
Jesus Christ, go play your cousins. Like,
it's not, they're on the same level. They're D1 basketball players. How can
he's
you say that?
He's 6 inches taller than him, has 50 pounds on him. Of course he's going to physically dominate.
That guy's quicker than him. He's more
athletic
than him.
That has nothing to do with guarding in the post. You know that. Just because you're quicker than him, how are you going to root him out because you're quicker than him?
How are you going to guard him if you're so much bigger and slower and less athletic? Like, how do you expect Haas to
Isaac
go
Haas
and guard him?
What? We're not talking about defense. 26 points has nothing to do with defense. He sucks on defense. Have you seen him in the balls? He killed us against Villanova. Do you not understand?
Well, that was exactly what I expected because the text message was pretty close to that.
You give him no credit.
What credit does he deserve?
He deserves...
If he does this against a ranked team, he deserves some credit.
So you're saying, Colton...
He scored 22 points against Villanova.
That was a great game.
So he exceeded expectations against Villanova, even though he was bigger than whatever his name is.
Reynolds.
I mean, Reynolds is so much better than anybody in Utah State. Yeah, he was taller, but Reynolds is strong. I would say he played well.
He played well.
Okay.
All right, about that Villanova game, I feel like we should talk a little bit about that in depth because it was a very big game. So, what are you guys' overall thoughts about that game?
We can't defend ball screens.
Quick guards.
Yeah. Struggle. That's my takeaways.
I think we severely underestimate or decided how much losing 2 defensive players of the year would be. Like, obviously we knew AJ would be like hurt for the shot blocking, but like I feel like Rafael, even though he was not always as like always that good,
right,
he would help us a lot on that type of stuff.
Yeah, he did. And it showed. I was watching a game, I think it might have been IU, I forget. Anyway, the announcers were talking about how the Big Ten is like not just a big physically imposing conference top to bottom anymore. It's moving towards like teams being able to go up and down, mm-hmm, and score a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's like what Purdue is becoming now, less of a like a defensive, like we're going to pride ourselves on defense. Like they're still going to play hard, but we're getting guys now like Carson Edwards and like Haas who are more offensive oriented and not so, you know, defensive stout. Mm-hmm. And it definitely showed against Villanova because we could not guard anyone. We couldn't stay in front of anyone. Mm-mm. And, like, our guards are not very good perimeter defenders, especially on-ball defenders. So that I think it's going to be a problem all year. And yeah. I mean, even that NGIT guard, like, he was getting wide open. He had, like, 30 points. Like, we couldn't stop him. We have no one that can shut him down. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be going to Louisville, I'm worried they're quick, athletic.
They're
going to
press us.
I think we're going to have to somehow manage the tempo, get it inside, get them in foul trouble, slow them down somehow. But, yeah, it'll be an interesting contrast of styles. But I do believe we're more equipped to play that up-and-down game now versus what we were. I don't
know if, like, you saw Bruce Pearl after the Auburn game was like, I wanted to play up-and-down.
Yeah.
And it's like, they were better than us at that.
And maybe last year we're not able to do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. AJ doesn't play well in transition. He's back to the basket, make his move, you know.
So
you
especially when Haas is out, like,
yeah,
a lot of
– right.
And Basil being back.
Yeah, him and Carson have been huge for that, what we've been talking about, like the tempo and being able to score in transition.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're both elite at that, in the Big Ten especially.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have anyone last year. I feel like you could, in transition, make plays. It showed last year that in the tournament when
Johnny Hill,
like, we could win the game, right. Johnny Hill fumbles the ball. Like, we had that was our best option. Like, I can't think of anything else we could do.
Right.
Like, and we needed a basket that quickly. Ben's driving, I guess, but, like, he did that a couple of times. He couldn't do shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. You're right.
So this year we have something like that. Even though Basil's not the best finisher at the rim, he still can
push
the pace and create something.
It's still a little scary that our best option's a freshman.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like
in transition.
Not even like a really just
not like a five star. Like, it's not Frank Jackson.
If we need a guard to make a play, Carson Edwards is our best option.
Yeah.
I mean, Spike can make a play. Spike makes plays too.
Spike hasn't been playing much. But maybe can.
He's better than PJ making plays, and he's the only other guard. So
I think most people are better than PJ making plays.
Yeah, I mean, Klein,
unless it's a three at the end of the game, but that's. Yeah.
I feel like any tight game down the stretch, we're getting at the Swan again around 15 feet and getting out of the way.
Yeah,
probably. That I mean, and if they come to double, whoever leaves needs to hit a shot.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think we'll see it at some point. We'll be in a close game down the stretch. Just like Villanova, like, it was a play for him. Like, PJ's not coming off that screen to score.
Yeah.
Like, it was a pick and pop for Swanigan. So, I think he's going to be the guy. Talking about Villanova, came back against Georgia State. Kind of a trap game. I know we talked about it before a little bit. And played exactly that way. Tight game. Mackey finally got into it late in the game. We pulled away. We went on, what, like
20-0 run
to there at the end of the game. So that was probably should have lost that game.
That was one of the more frustrating games I've ever had to watch.
Mm-hmm. Colin was very, very upset the whole game.
You hate another person we need to talk about is PJ. That reminds me, because you were trashing him that whole game too.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't like.
He had a good game against Auburn, and then NGIT. He did not really play well.
But. I think if you're talking about expectations, PJ is at expectations or above them. Because, like, what has he done that's so horrible or bad? Like,
for a junior starting point guard for a team that says we are on an elite level, he is not good in any way.
He wasn't expected to be
the worst point guard in the
Joel
top 25.
Berry.
What?
Like, he's not expected to be some scoring point guard. Like, that's not his role, like, to go out and get 15 points a game. Like, that's not what he's expected to do. He's not expected to make plays. Like,
okay,
he's expected to take care of the ball, not turn it over, play defense, orchestrate the offense. Like, that's like, I know you don't like that, but
it doesn't even I guess for our team, that's just not what I like.
I don't think he's gonna play late in games.
I think Spike is better suited, but that's just me.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's just...
He doesn't play much, though. So. I'm not Matt Painter.
The last three games, PJ has turned over 6 times over 3 games, 2 a game. But, I mean, he's getting asked to do a lot more. I don't know what he's... I was trying to look what he's shooting from three this year.
31%. I looked earlier. Yeah,
31%. So, not great, but... And I don't feel like he's been as atrocious as you sometimes make it seems to. Like,
I think Colm just has these things he wants a point guard to do. And PJ does not do those things.
He's not skilled enough to do those things. He's not like, I hate to bring up his height, but, like, he's not going to be able to be.
He's like, never going to score inside.
Exactly. Ever. And he's not going to be able to.
A guy his size should be still be able to make plays.
Like, Lewis Jackson was that size.
Yeah. Make
plays. Lewis Jackson was so quick, though. He was like Carson Edwards. Like, Carson Edwards can make plays because he can get around almost
anyone. Yeah, but that's, my point is just that if you're that being good. But my point is just if you're that size, like, you can, you have, if you have their attributes, you can still make plays.
And I'm, for my expectations of PJ with his, like, attributes and talent, like, you cannot expect him to do much. Like,
yeah, so honestly, why the hell is he starting? That's what I don't understand. Then, if our expectations of this guy are so low, why is he a starting point guard for a top 15 team in the nation? I don't understand.
I can agree with you there, but he is doing what he is being asked to do.
All
right. Whether that is right or not,
I think he's maybe that. Asked to do maybe too little.
I agree with that. I think it got shown in the tournament too. Like, you can't have a guard that you're saying, like, you can't tell him to go make a play.
The only thing you do is catch and shoot an open three, and you do that at a 31% clip. So great work, meeting expectations. Great job. It's very unfortunate for our team.
I agree. That's why we sat in here after the first game saying there's no way he'll start when Big Ten season comes around.
Or if he does, he'll be like a symbolic start. Like,
he won't get as,
like,
many minutes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, Carson Edwards will get more minutes. Like, and when it counts.
And Spike.
Oh, man.
Carson doesn't play the point a lot.
I mean, I wish he would.
Yeah.
Also, he's not really.
Painter doesn't trust him with the ball.
Yeah, it's not. It's not.
Yeah. But who knows? He is a leader, though. You can see, like, on the floor and, like, during timeouts and stuff. Like, he is, like, a vocal leader.
PJ?
Like, yeah, in the huddle. And, like, I don't think that would go anywhere, though. Like, if he didn't play, I don't think it'd go anywhere. Like, he gave his number to Carson Edwards. And, like, I think he would, not gladly, but he would go with grace if he wasn't the starter anymore.
Mm-hmm. But I still stand by the fact that he's our third best point guard. So,
yeah, I'd agree. I would agree.
Yeah, I'm not PJ fan club over here, but
yeah,
I think
he will struggle against Louisville.
Oh yeah, it's not his game.
And trap.
Yeah, it's not his game.
Not good.
Spike, I have to play a lot. Carson Edwards, I have to play a lot.
And I have to play controlled.
Yeah.
Carson Edwards is a perfect prey for the Louisville's defense. Like, just a fast, out-of-control guy. They're like, let's go. Turnover city. So hopefully he plays all right, but I'd be pretty nervous.
So if you see PJ's minutes going down, do you like them replaced with Klein? Like, we've seen Klein play at two games now?
Yeah.
What do you think on him?
I haven't talked to you about him. Last game we saw Basil didn't play nearly as much.
Yeah.
Ryan Klein played a little bit more. I don't know. I don't see how Ryan Klein.
I feel like he's
another Dakota.
Mm-hmm. What I've talked to my dad about.
Plus ball skill.
Yeah, can't pass as well.
Mm-hmm. It's like you can't play nine guys. I feel like in a competitive game, like,
yeah,
that's so hard to do. Like, and like, who's going to be the guy that gets 5 minutes? Like, who's going to be the guy that comes in the first half for one period and then?
I feel like if we're not in foul trouble, Basil's minutes are going to diminish because we can stick with, so like, sad. That three-man kind of rotation with, like, Haas and Swanigan and Vince. Like, Basil won't necessarily have to play that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I guess is unfortunate. But
so you think Carson Edwards, Klein, and Matthias will continue to see substantial minutes?
Yeah. Or? I think we need Klein just because he can hit shots. Like, Basil can't really hit shots. I can know he brings energy, and maybe if we need that from him in the game, then we bring him in. But, like,
I guess it's a good problem to have guys that are capable that may not get a chance every game to play big minutes. Another thing I see right up here, totally switching gears, but Wisconsin, just the Big Ten as a whole. I don't think I've seen the Big Ten this bad.
Yeah,
since rough. I have seen, it's like since I started following college
basketball. I think Purdue and IU are like
clear cut.
Yeah, right now, 1-2. The Michigan State, as we said, I think, on our last podcast.
Yeah, we talked about
struggled.
It.
Struggled.
Yeah.
Maybe by the Big Ten season, they might, like,
get it together.
Yeah. Bridges, I mean, they have a lot of young talent, so.
Yeah. The talent's there.
Yeah, it's just young and lack of leadership, too.
And Tom Izzo's a coach, too.
Yeah.
Can't really count him out.
You can't count him out, but, like, for right now, they're struggling.
I feel like it's a clear, like, top tier. Indiana, Purdue, second tier, maybe Wisconsin, Ohio State, or Wisconsin, Michigan State, maybe Ohio State, And Michigan.
Michigan, they've been a little inconsistent, but they've played well.
Maybe throw Northwestern in. They've had a couple.
Yeah. Maybe it's just so average.
And then the rest of the conference is just trash.
I mean, it's trash. But even IU lost to IPFW. Yeah. So, like, it's like, no one's dominant. Like, we're not going to – we all lost to Georgia State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, no one in the Big Ten is, like, to be afraid of.
Right, Wisconsin's lost twice, but they have lost to two ranked teams.
Yes.
And North Carolina,
been in Wisconsin.
Okay, North Carolina, to me, so right now, is the best team in the country. I think. I think it's pretty – once Duke gets healthy, then it'll probably be Duke. But I would say North Carolina's the best team.
Villanova is right there, but yeah.
Yeah.
They're defending national champs with just about everyone that's worth anything back.
Mm-hmm. And they played on a neutral site, and they got blown out. Yeah, they did. It was not a close game. Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin got beat by 12 to Creighton.
They lost at Creighton, yeah.
By 12, yeah. It's not like they competed. And then Creighton's blown out by North Carolina.
I think they are.
They're good, but they're not great. Like, that makes Wisconsin an average team.
I don't think Wisconsin's average.
They got blown out by North Carolina.
Yeah.
Wasn't even close.
I think we would, too.
We would not get blown out. We played Villanova tight.
At home.
Sure.
Put us on a neutral floor. We all know we're not very great on a neutral floor.
Yeah, you put us on a neutral floor, we might as well take 10 points off what we get.
We will talk about this after Louisville. If we go to Louisville,
if we can show up at Louisville, I will.
I'm very nervous about that.
What do you think we'll be ranked going into it?
I don't think we'll move up very much.
Like 14, 15?
15, yeah.
Yeah, I think
you. Back to 15. What do you think IU will drop to?
7 or 8, probably.
Yeah, they'll probably still be in the top 10.
Oh, really? Yeah. You think they'll have 7 spots?
Yes. That's one of the worst losses ever.
It was on the road, though. Like, it's not like it was
on the road. You can't say it on paper. That I mean, there's IU fans everywhere in there.
Hell yeah,
they weren't on Assembly, but there was a pro Indiana crowd.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I mean, they were 2 hours away from Bloomington, so the state of Indiana is just chock full with Indiana fans too. Yeah. So it's like it doesn't matter where you play them.
Very unfortunate.
Yeah,
it's true, but I mean. Oh yeah, Louisville will be very. I am very excited to watch it on like national TV. Sitting in here, like being able to just
like not with the crowd reaction, just like
yeah,
I can yell at the TV.
Yeah,
I think
it's a great time.
I think Swanigan. I mean, he always has a good game, but like he is huge for us because he's the guy that like doesn't get caught up in all the emotion most of the time. And just like you know, his effort's going to be there. You know, his determination's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Very interested to see how Carson Edwards plays on the road, especially him trending up.
First true road game.
Like, is he going to shoot it, 15 times like he's been down almost? So it's like
Probably over 6 from 3.
I feel like he'll shoot more in the environment than like he would.
Yeah.
He'll get him jacked up to shoot more than anything.
Like, try to be a hero.
Yeah. Which we might need, but also, like.
He might end up on the bench in the second half.
I feel like this is a game Smotherman could play a lot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We'll need the athleticism.
Just like he's a dog on the road. He's like mentally tough to where he'll be able to handle the crowd. I think Carson handled the crowd. Swanigan handled the crowd. Worried about Haas. I mean, people are going to be yelling him. It's not really his type of game with their athletic ability.
Mm-hmm.
They have a couple like 7-footers themselves. Skinny guys, but they're very tall.
Yeah.
And
more athletic.
Like you said, Dakota, not really a game for him.
Yeah.
Klein, maybe.
This is why I'm worried.
I feel like we need it, though, for our resume.
Basically have no big wins. And then Notre Dame's trending upwards if we play them on a neutral site. So that could be.
I never count on us to win the cross.
Yeah, right. We know that. Last year, we were like, we're playing Butler. Undefeated. Surely we got it. Nah.
Butler beat Arizona. Jeez.
Arizona's whatever.
Virginia. Wow. Virginia, very impressive.
Virginia is very good, yeah.
Wait, who beat Virginia? Who beat Virginia?
No one beat Virginia.
Some beat Virginia?
No. Nah.
Virginia is undefeated.
They did? Okay, someone told me wrong then. Yes. Oh, wait, Butler beat...
Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh, so Mike very told me they beat Virginia. I don't know why I believe
him. Mike.
Come on, Mike.
I know you're listening to this.
Definitely not.
Yeah, Grambling State, they won 90-34.
Grambling State's one of the worst athletic programs in the whole country. That's I mean, but yeah, it's impressive. It's impressive.
Beat Iowa by 30 points. Virginia did. So.
That was one of the best.
By 30?
Yeah,
Iowa. 74-49.
The Big Ten is trash.
Oh, yeah. It is.
That's when my dad and I were talking about it, when we saw that score come across the screen. It's like, Iowa is an average Big Ten team, and they got absolutely trash.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough for seeding this year.
Yeah.
Our conference just isn't good.
Like, what, five teams in, maybe?
Well, and it'll be a struggle to get, like, quality wins, because
exactly.
Not a lot of quality teams are going to be playing.
Yeah. I guess. Well, I think we should start wrapping this up. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about when Louisville game comes along. But
it'll be Sunday.
Yep.
It'll be Sunday.
No episode Tuesday night.
Yeah. Don't rush. Yeah. Don't rush your computer. Headphones on, ready to listen to us on Wednesday night. We'll be. How many games do we have next week? Does that one? Like,
We play it Saturday.
We play Morehead State on the 3rd.
Is that Saturday? Or Friday?
We need a break.
The third is a Tuesday. No, it's not. The third is a Saturday. The third is Saturday.
Sunday, we will talk about the Louisville game and the Morehead State game, which is at Mackey. So we will be there for that one.
Hopefully the Morehead State game is like uneventful.
Mm-hmm.
I might even push for, like, if something crazy happens in the Louisville game, like, at least record part of it Tuesday night.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe we can piece together another part Saturday or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get some emotion in there, but...
If it's like a close overtime finish, we'll
we'll
get some live reaction, and then we'll...
Maybe 10 minutes, and then cut it and come back with some more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll play by ear. Yeah. But, be assured it will be a great podcast.
Might be drunk by that point, I guess.
That would make it even better.
Especially if we're losing.
Oh, yeah. It's like sad.
Do you want to give like a prediction just real quickly?
Yeah. I'm going to say we need the win, so I'm going to be optimistic. Purdue by 7.
I say we lose by 8.
Ooh. I say that.
Classic.
I want to say we win, but I think we'll lose in a, like, kind of a Villanova type game by like 3 or 4.
Okay. Well, I'm the only one.
Yeah, you are the only
thanks
one.
Right, thanks, Ryan. I hope Nick's right. So we will see you.
One thing.
Okay.
We have played so many games recently. I am pessimistic about the, like, how much traveling they've been doing. They went to Cancun, back from Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went probably home for Thanksgiving for a day. Yeah, came back, had to play again.
On Saturday.
Now we're going to Louisville.
They have Sunday, Monday. Yeah, only 3 days.
That is the only pessimistic piece I'm taking, but
yeah, definitely, I just had to say that. That's definitely
something we kind of coasted Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. It was mellow and like very relaxed almost.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there, but from watching it on TV, it looked very relaxed. Crowd wasn't great, so
yeah. I mean, a break game is always gonna be hard to get the same atmosphere, but we will. We will let you guys know what we think on Sunday about what happened. So,
yep.
Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.